Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Organizing Confidence Unlimited podcast. I'm Maggie, a busy mom and owner of Organizing CU, a professional organizing business based in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois. This podcast is for busy moms who are sick of losing steam and are ready to get organized to gain time for themselves and their families. We will be going in depth on a bunch of organizing topics from paperwork to closets to daily routines. Today, we're talking about how to get those hundreds or thousands of toys under control. If your house is anything like mine, you've probably got a toy or two within arm's reach right now. And I knew at the holidays, we'd only be having even more brought in. Instead of just accepting the toy disaster that was bound to happen, I got proactive to avoid the toy tornado from taking over our home. I'm splitting this episode into three parts, which is my organizing philosophy of reduce, arrange, maintain. We're going to talk about how to purge the toys you currently have, how to organize what's left, and then how to stop the toy overwhelm from happening again. Reduce is always where you're going to want to start with any organizational project, and today is no exception. So let's dive in. There are a lot of toys in your home right now, and it's 100% going to feel overwhelming to try and start to get rid of some of them, especially when every toy you've decided to donate immediately becomes your kid's favorite that they don't want to let go of. You can choose to tackle toy purges either with or without your kids around. That's entirely up to you and how your kids will handle the situation. You could try it with them just to see how receptive they are and then finish it out when they're not around. That's up to you. But once you're ready to start, you can tackle this project in a couple of different ways. Category and last used. Category is to go through each category of toys, pull out all the trains in the house, and decide which ones you want to keep. Notice the change there. It's not which ones you want to get rid of. It's which ones you want to keep. I've discussed this before. It's the switch from what do I want to get rid of? Implying you're keeping all of the stuff you have and only getting rid of a couple of things you maybe don't like anymore. Instead, try reversing it to what do my kids love enough that is able to take up space in my home? When you're going through the toys, try to start with this mindset, and it's going to be easier to keep the favorites that you know they love than it is to try to figure out which toys do they kind of not really like anymore. So back to the system. Pull out all the trains and decide which ones you want to keep. Now, if your kid loves trains and has three sets that can be interwoven and he builds these giant tracks all around your dining room table, always redoing them, then your kid likely loves all three sets. And that's fantastic. But if during this project, you didn't even know you had three sets of trains, and now you do, it's okay to get rid of all of them, or maybe just keep the sturdiest one, donating the rest. Instead, maybe when you have time to tackle puzzles, pull them out, make sure you have the pieces for the puzzles your kids put together all the time, and then donate the rest. That mind shift from what do my kids love enough and play with enough to keep should help you make some very easy decisions during this purge. So that's the category method. And now this other method, which I call last used, is to think about the last time you saw your kid actually playing with the toy, regardless of how much you think they love it. Give yourself a time frame, maybe a week or a month. And if your kid hasn't used it in that time frame, donate it. Keep in mind, these two methods could be used together if you want to. Let's say you pull out all the trains, and if they haven't played with the trains in a month, it's time to donate them. A new thing we did this year on Christmas Eve was to go through all of the toys in our home with my kid. I asked if they still loved playing with them or if they were ready to give it away. And you'd be amazed at the amount of toys and books that were willingly given up, including one that I quite honestly thought was still an absolute favorite. Which, by the way, it's been several weeks since we've done this. They have not once asked for this favorite toy. Kids as young as two or three can comprehend this and do this project with you. It was a spur of the moment idea for me, but it's a very eye-opening tradition that I'm planning on continuing both on birthdays and during the holidays. The goal of that was to be a step ahead of my one-in, one-out rule that I have for items in my home. For everything that comes in, I try to get rid of one thing and get it out of my home. Instead, this time, it was one out, then one in. We did it before more presents arrived, making it easier to part with the old toys since the anticipation of new toys was so high. And let's talk about incoming toys real quick. I have a one present limit from family members at holidays and birthdays. One year, my mom even tried to sneak in an extra book, and I literally took it the next day and donated it to my kids' classroom. It seems harsh and like a very strong rule, but we don't have a large house and every inch counts. I will say this year, because we were far apart, we did allow each set of grandparents to give an extra gift from Hanukkah, Harry, or Santa as a way to make them feel a little more involved. So there is a little bit of leeway, but it is still a pretty strict rule in my house. If you're getting ready to have kids or you have very young kids, I would recommend starting this present limit as soon as possible. It helps prevent the expectation before it even begins or really takes hold. And right now, I'm sure some of you are thinking, yeah, that's amazing for you, but my mom or my in-laws would never go for that. Well, maybe not, but having a frank discussion about why you're cutting down on the influx of toys is a great start. Explain to everyone, including the givers of the presents and your kids if they're a little bit older, that less presents does not mean anyone is less loved. The reduce has to start somewhere, so why not start it before it even enters your house? As we move on to the arrange part, let me talk to you real quick about building a house. There are thousands of decisions to make throughout the entire process. How thick of baseboards do you want? Do you want nickel or brass fixtures? Do you want sliding glass doors or French doors? Manchester tan or Grant beige paint? Red mahogany or red oak floors? Pools or knobs on your kitchen cabinets? It's never ending. We're adults with fully functioning brains, and you would be overwhelmed making decisions like that all day long. Imagine being 2 years old and walking into your playroom and having 75 toys available for you to play. It's just as overwhelming to them as you when they're given that many options. Overchoice and decision fatigue are very real, and they can affect your kids just as much as you. For babies and small toddlers, I like to recommend a toy rotation. When they're little and don't move much, I like to have maybe 4, 5, 6 bins with one toy of each different category in there. For example, you might have one soft book, one car, one rattle, one teether, and one stuffed animal in each bin. Swap it out every couple of days or every week, whenever. Quite honestly, it's whenever you remember. There are only a couple of items in each bin that allow your kid to play and explore, but without that overwhelm. As your kid gets older, you could certainly try a toy rotation, but I found that the older kids tend to have very strong opinions of what they want to play with when they want to play with them. If I got blocks out, my kid would probably want magna tiles. If we had crayons, markers are absolutely going to be requested. With their better memories, the out-of-sight, out-of-mind toy rotation might be thrown out the window. Instead, I like to organize toys by type. So maybe you'll have a bin for blocks, a bin for car stuff, a bin for the kitchen play, a bin for dress-up. If you have a playroom or a basement, set up zones. A sport zone, an art zone, a doll zone. Try to keep the bins and zones relatively generic, because that's going to lead me to the maintain part coming up here. Since you will hopefully have less toys now that we've gone through and reduced, and a little bit more space, all of the toys should have a home that you've arranged. It might be cars and Barbies in the basement with books in the playroom, whatever makes sense for your family. And there's two ways I like to encourage you to help maintain the toy organization. The first one is to make sure there are labels, whether it's words or pictures. That way, everyone knows exactly where the stuff needs to be put away when they're done playing. The second, and obviously I will admit, the much, much harder part, is to encourage kids to put all of the toys back in the bin themselves before getting out a new one to play with. That's easier said than done. I know that, absolutely. But being a stickler and really sticking to the, we need to clean up before we go outside, or before we eat dinner, or before we go to the park, will really, really help children with their tidying to create those habits in order for the toy organization to be maintained long term. Another little secret I used to maintain the organization is Amazon wish lists. When you're scrolling Amazon, instead of adding kids' toys to the cart, choose add to list and have a list for maybe each of your kids. This helps with the maintain because I'm not just letting any old toy into my home. It's a curated toy that I've specifically approved and I know I can make room for in my house. This way, the presents that do come into my house are things I know my kid's gonna love and enjoy playing with for some time. It's extremely frustrating when someone buys 3 or 4 gifts for your kid that you either know they don't like or that you quite honestly don't approve of. It's so hard to take that present back from your kid after the fact. So having the list is really my secret way of making sure the things that are coming in are the things I'm gonna want to keep. It's also nice to have the ongoing list throughout the year for birthdays or other special events. When my kid was using a hammer the other day, I asked if they'd like to have their own toy toolkit. The answer was yes, of course, obviously. So we searched together on my phone and added it to the list. This way, I'm not struggling to come up with ideas at the last minute for friends and family. I've also got a list that I can add or subtract from as my kids' wants change. Just because you're having it on an Amazon list, by the way, does not mean that you have to get it off of Amazon. My mother-in-law loves to support her local toy store, so she takes the Amazon list to the store, gets an exact or maybe comparable item, marks it off the Amazon list as bought, so that way she can still support her local businesses, but she still has a list of exactly what we're looking for. Toys are always a struggle to keep under control because your kid will need toys that continue to grow with them over time, so there's always going to be new ones coming into your house. Hopefully, this episode gave you some good tips and ideas to help reduce, arrange, and maintain it to keep those toys under control. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'll be back next week to discuss procrastination and how to organize your life to avoid it. To learn more about organizing CU in the meantime, or to see what else I've been up to, check out organizingcu.com. Make sure you hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. Now, let's go get organized.